Welcome to the Immerse podcast with your hosts, Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. As a collective, we are also the co-founders of Immerse Recovery, where we are building the home of recovery for everyday and world-class athletes. Our aim is to immerse you into education via our guests, bringing communities together, embracing positive change, and helping you to create solid habits that will yield the path for your health and longevity. As former sports people, we understand the importance of daily habit change, regular activity, optimal nutrition, sleep quality, and recovery strategies to optimise our daily performance. Our name, Immerse, represents all the elements of our ethos and it promotes a passionate message. We go again is our mantra. It symbolises the opportunity to achieve greatness through repetition, which in turn will allow you to recover quicker.
Matt Murray, thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you doing?
Welcome. Happy to be here. Yeah, good, mate. Good. How are you? Good.
Christening our new home.
This is our new office,
literally,
man.
Literally just got in here.
So at least we're christening it with words.
With words and yes. Mutual handshakes and respect.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
No, pleasure. More than welcome,
absolute
mate.
Pleasure, mate. First guest in the new office. It's a big one for us. So I think what we need to do, mate, first of all, you've obviously been on reality TV. I think we want to give you the platform to speak authentically, show the people you're an actual human being without the editing, without the manipulation of the cameras. So, who's Matt Murray?
Good question, mate. Still figuring that one out 33 years later. Yeah. That's the journey of life, though, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, the reality TV thing, it's difficult because, like we was having a conversation earlier, like, I don't really recognise the person I was on there. But the only thing that I can say about it is if you take any person and put them into a situation that they're not used to, you could be the nicest guy in the world, but if I plop you in a corner somewhere and continuously prod you, there's something that's going to kick in there instinctively, which is going to turn you into something that you're not. For example, I don't really drink. I'm not a big drinker. I used to be, and I don't do that anymore. And during the maths process, I will say for the record that nobody's forcing alcohol down your neck. Nobody's telling you to drink. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Everybody on that show is a grown adult. You can do what you please. Mm. I just chose to drink a lot of red wine. And they were the decisions that were made. And a lot of the times, that's exactly what would happen. You would end up at a table. There would be a lot of red wine. And then it was almost like, okay, they'd wait till everybody was slightly on the tipsy side. Everyone's laughing. It's like, well, the more we were laughing, the more it was like, okay, they're drunk now. Yeah. Let's slide that box out. Who else's wife do you want to fuck? Like, hang on, I thought this was about marriage. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this is a bit odd. Yeah. But back to the original point of conversation, who am I? I am just a normal, probably not normal. That is definitely the wrong word to use for me.
We don't like normal.
No, mate,
what
definitely not.
What is normal?
Definitely not a neurotypical person. Just plodding my way through life, mate, doing the best that I can possibly do by the people around me, by myself, by my dogs, by my family, by my friends, and continuously trying to learn about myself and the world around us.
Nice. What brought you to the place where you thought reality TV, that's what I want to do? And now that you have done it, post, what's your reflection on the whole thing?
Nothing brought me to the place where I would do reality TV. if you asked any of my family or friends, in fact, I wish I'd recorded the reactions of my family and friends when I said I've been approached to do Married at First Sight and I said that I'm going to do it. Mm. Yeah, they were all like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you are not made for reality TV, Matt. Like, they are not your people. Mm. I was like, yeah, well, let's try and bring a little bit of real to reality TV. Let's go. Yeah. So I basically, I think it was March 17th, 2022, I got a message on Instagram off a casting agent asking me, look, would you like to come and marry a stranger? Don't worry, it's not legally binding. Do you know what I mean? The weddings aren't real. Basically, worst case scenario, You'll have a good time. It'll be an experience and you might learn some things about yourself. And I was like, I'm all for that. Yeah, let's go. At the time, I'd also chosen to be celibate for a little while, based upon probably a podcast that I'd listened to or something that I'd read, which I thought, do you know figures. What? Yeah, mate, yeah, that sounds pretty yeah, educational. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. If I read something and it makes sense to me, I'm willing to try it. So I was like, okay, celibacy. Yeah, cool, let's try that. Mm-hmm. I think that was based upon the ancestral fact that you're not meant to be just throwing your sperm all over the place. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so no masturbation or anything?
No masturbation or anything. So I went full on for it. And plus the fact, I think, if I'm ever going to get married, it'd have to be like that. Either a shotgun wedding at Gretna Green or on national TV.
Yeah.
Just chose the explosive side. so, yeah, just went for it. And on reflection, I don't regret it at all because I truly believe, genuinely, you are always exactly where you're meant to be in this life. Mm. And there was three separate TVs. That was the third TV show within 3 months that had reached out to me on Instagram. And it was the one that I kind of agreed to do. So I was like, okay. But it was a very fast process. Like, from them messaging me on Instagram to my first day of filming, 2 weeks, to the wedding, 4 weeks. So it was like, bam, 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 bam. There was cars picking me up, driving me over for STI checks. There was, do you know what I mean? There was, yeah, it was mental.
Take it, you passed them.
Yeah, yeah, I think.
I'll tell you.
I don't really remember getting the results, actually. I mean, I feel like it's like the mental health checks. I feel like there's no way all of us passed that mental health exam. Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure they went red flags, red flags, red flags. That's going to make great
You'll
TV.
You'll do.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't like, are you going to be like sound enough?
Little recipe.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, 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 yeah. Is that person going to really collide with that person over there? Right, cool. That's going to be it. But at the end of the day, I think you've just got to be open enough and also, I won't say educated because that's the wrong word. You've got to be a realist. Like, it's reality TV. It's for ratings. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If it was for like love and happiness, mate, no one would fucking watch it, would they? Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, all right, I got a lot of shit for all the drama, but equally, you're welcome, Channel 4. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. All a bit mental.
Go back to the celibacy. I'm intrigued about that.
Mm.
What? How long are we talking? What was the experiment for yourself?
So the no sex thing was, where were we? 1, 2, 3, 4. A total of 4 months was the no sex. And then the no masturbation was 2 months. 2 months. And the no sex thing, I find after, if you're a single guy, or a single, maybe not, I can't speak for females, but from the conversations that I've had with other men, I can safely say I reckon that I've got it right, in the sense that a lot of the times when you're single and you're seeking sex on a continuous basis, it's for validation. Mm. You're searching for validation.
Yeah.
Basically, am I attractive? Does this person find me attractive? In fact, Russell Brand put it really well. It's almost like the euphoria of a new person finding you attractive.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? You sat having dinner and you're halfway down the aisle covered in confetti on the first date. And it was like, that resonated. That made sense. And I was like, okay, cool, let's try that. So that was quite easy.
Yeah.
That was quite easy. Like, after the first week, you don't really miss it. You are a lot more focused. You're a lot more... and then exactly the same with the whole masturbation thing as well. It's like, actually, you don't really need that.
Mm.
I feel you do feel a lot sharper. You feel a lot more focused. And it's like, that is your gene pool that you're throwing on a fucking towel at 9 p.m. before you put your head down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're literally your kids, mate. That's your energy source that you're throwing out there.
That's interesting.
And we're all very quick to go, oh, let's jump on this medicine, let's jump on that medicine, but we forget to actually look at our bodies and what we are, what we're made of. Mm. That's the bit that, like, it's all a joke, especially between men. It's just like, ever since school, masturbation and things and all, everything like that, sex, it's always been a bit of a laugh and a bit of banter between men. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been like a primal thing.
Mm.
Like the Vikings. Do you know what I mean? Let's have as many fucking kids as we can.
No, that is interesting. I think we were very sexualized as well growing up. You know, grew up too quick in that sense.
Yeah.
And I feel that times are changing now. You know, like, for example, my son is nothing like what I were like at his age. Nothing at all. So I'm just, like, looking at him thinking, yeah, things are starting to shift now. Things are starting to move. Like, you know, I'm not even going to say how old I was when I started. It's, like, embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing. No, it is, though. And it's...
You shouldn't be embarrassed about it.
No, well, it's done now, isn't it?
And yeah, exactly.
Who I am, and it's brought me to where I am today as well. But, yeah, it's... I feel like it's something that's changed, and that's definitely intrigued me into, you know, why would we do such a thing? I think this needs to be spoken about a lot more between males as well.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
To have
yeah,
a bit more self-awareness, you know, instead of just getting this urge and just doing it for doing its sake.
Mm. It's delaying the gratification though as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I'd also be a complete liar if I said that that's something that I live by on a continuous basis.
Yeah.
I'll go through stints. Yeah. I'll recognise, hang on a minute, what have you just been doing there? Okay, that's not too great in your life. You're using that as an escapism. You're seeking pleasure over productivity because that's the easiest thing. You're getting the dopamine hit. You're getting the serotonin hit. You're getting what you want from that, but you're not actually focused on the stuff you're meant to be focused on. So I can't say the whole celibacy side of things was great. It was fantastic. It was amazing. And it did give me a lot more clarity. It's definitely something I would recommend everybody try. But then at the same time, is it something that I currently live by? No.
I guess it's a bit like fasting. You know when to do it, when not to do it.
Yeah. You know absolutely, I mean? Yeah. Sometimes you need to go through a period of celibacy to reset yourself.
Correct.
Yeah. The same as fasting. Sometimes you need to fast to flush all the shit out of your system.
We're doing it next week, aren't we?
Big one, yeah.
How long are you going for?
We're going for a three-day.
Water or none?
Water. Black coffee?
Yeah, black coffee.
BCAAs? No, just electrolytes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, keep the salt levels up.
Yeah.
You done it before?
No, 24 hours is the longest.
Join with us next week, Pat.
Probably not.
Yeah, there won't be much training going on, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it is mad because we do eat too much. We eat when we're hungry, but we're not actually hungry. Plus, you're not designed to eat every time you're hungry. That sensation is releasing energy into your body to go find food, not to nip to Tesco. Other supermarkets are available.
Look at your watch and think, oh, it's lunchtime or whatever, and I need to eat right now just because, you know, it's not the case, is it?
Yeah, true. Yeah, literally. But again, that's going back to what you said about being sexualized. We've also been conditioned since we were at a very young age, breakfast, lunch, tea.
Yeah.
Or depending on what area of the world you are, breakfast, dinner, tea, or breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
Wherever you guys are, who are watching right now.
Yeah. By the big corporations, big food companies and marketing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. I think mainly by our parents, because they were influenced by that.
Yeah.
It's like the whole milk and the calcium thing. Like, milk's fucking terrible for you.
Yeah.
But what they did is they artificially pumped a load of calcium into milk and then marketed it as a prone source of calcium, and it's great for your bones. Actually really bad for your bones.
Osteoporosis is like one in three in females. Madness, isn't it?
Mental.
Tell us about your training journey.
How long have we got? I don't know if you've noticed me, but if you give me a subject, I probably won't stop talking.
you were overweight at one point, and then you lean right down, and then come back up to more hench, athletic.
Yeah.
You know, more across the board, you know. Where were you when you started? How old were you? What were your mindset like at the time?
So when I first started, I was 23 years old. 22 years old. I was living down in Bristol. Never even considered it. I'd done steroids at 18. Probably went to the gym once, and I thought chicken was the bird's eye stuff that you got out the freezer with that had breadcrumbs on it and that you put in, and if I had two of them a day, I was going to be massive. Pretty certain there's a picture on my Facebook where I'm tensing my bicep like that, and I think it's huge. Just a fat ball on my arm. I was living down in Bristol, and it's funny because I actually remember the exact moment, and I'll never forget it. And I was working with a lad called Ryan, and... Ryan, if you're watching, I can't remember your surname, mate, so you have to apologize. I do apologize. But we were running a team of fundraisers in a place called Street near Wells, and there was an outdoor pool, and it was the middle of the summer, And the long and short of it was like, if your teammates target, we're all going to go and get in this pool afterwards. So me and Ryan, we go over to this pool. We're going to get in this pool. Takes his top off. I'm like, fucking hell, mate, you're shredded. Do you know what I mean? I was like, have you always been like that? And he went, actually, mate, no, 9 months ago, you won't recognise me. Mm. I was like, what? And he showed me a picture of him 9 months ago. And I was like, fuck, he was a big lad. He was a big... The guy I was looking at in front of me was not the guy on the picture at all. Mm. And someone just clicked, mate. Someone just went, right, now. Do you know what I mean? I was about 19 stone at this time. Unhealthy. Ate what I want. I'd go into Poundland, buy a pack of 4 Red Bulls, a pack of 4 Mars bars and a pack of 4 picnics, because back then it was actually a quid. Do you know what I mean? I could get all of that for £3.
Yeah.
And I'd come out with those. And I wouldn't like save 2 of the picnics and 2 of the Mars bars for later on in the daytime, mate. I'd sit and eat all 8 chocolate bars and probably drink 2 out of the 4 Red Bulls. Then I'd probably nip some Mackies on my dinner. I would have had a Greg's breakfast on the way in, which I, in fact, I can remember the order, mate. It was a bacon and cheese turnover, a sausage roll, a caramel custard donut, and a Lucozade orange. Do you know what I mean? Every day without fail. Wow. But I probably would have had a Starbucks at the train station, which would have been a caramel macchiato, which, by the way, Starbucks, that's not actually a macchiato, but get your coffee right. I would have had that, but at home, I would have already had 2 coffees, milk, 2 or 3 sugars, and about 8 slices of toast with bread and butter. Do you know what I mean? Didn't care. But then I was worried about sweating too much when I was out, and I was dancing on a night out. I'd be, mate, my T-shirt would be dripping. If I took it off, I could physically wring it, and it would drip. And everyone was like, oh, it's overactive sweat glands. Like, not one person went, yo, it's your diet,
yeah,
and it's your exercise. Mm. You're fat and you're unhealthy.
Yeah.
You need to sort it. You're probably going to die. Mm. And that just doesn't... Do you know what I mean? It just wasn't a thing then. Mm. Mm. But to cut the long story short, met Ryan. He told me about paleo. And there was this... there was a thing, there was a website at the time, and it was like the caveman diet. Mm. And so I went onto it. And the guy was like, right, I want you to fast all day. Don't eat anything all day apart from water and black coffee. Black coffee to me was like, absolutely not. But I'll try it. Within a couple of weeks, it's now my favourite drink.
Yeah.
But then at night, have a takeaway. Go for it. You fasted all day, eat the takeaway. And it was like, oh, all right. So if I don't eat anything all day, I can still eat shit at night. Got round to eating the shit at night. What did I feel? Sick. I felt awful, yeah, mate. Because I was like, oh, my body's been clean all day. And I've just shoved a kebab in it. Oh, okay. And it started to make sense then. So I did that for a couple of days. Then it was like graze on nuts and berries and then have a high protein meal at the end of the day. Because ancestrally, you would have been out hunting and gathering during the day. You wouldn't have had a chance to eat meat. You wouldn't have had a chance to eat a big... You would have been grazing on nuts and berries as you were going through the woods, the forests and whatever you were doing to find your food. Then at night, once you got it back and you prepared it, then you could have a decent meal. And I was like, oh, I also quite liked this ancestral mindset that went with it. Mm. 5 months down the line, mate, I was 11 stone 12. I was running 5 kilometres every morning at 4:30 in the morning without fail. And then going into the garage, doing 35, 40 minutes of calisthenics and then going to work all day, coming back, doing another 5K in an evening. Wow. Couldn't pay me to touch carbohydrate. Like, I remember going to the fridge and taking out a Cadbury's fudge out of the fridge once. And I undid the wrapper and I put the fudge in my mouth. This sounds ridiculous to some people, but this was a real thing for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, chocolate is my nemesis. And I put the fudge in my mouth and I took it back out and I put it in the wrapper and I put it in the bin. Mm. And that was a moment where I was like, oh, shit, I conquered it. Mm. If only I could go back to that.
Balancing it, I guess you got to go through those processes and for your mind as well as your body,
yeah,
you know, and to teach yourself that you have to be disciplined in life
and
what we eat and what we drink and what we do every day is all down to that, isn't it? You know, no matter what we're doing in life, it's always going to come down to discipline and routine.
Yeah.
And you've got to, for me, you've got to go through them processes. And yeah, is that seen as being crazy to some people? Yeah, I totally resonate with what you're saying.
Yeah, totally get you.
And I think that's actually okay. You know what I mean? That's totally okay. Mm. It's not crazy behaviour. You've got to go through those moments of, you know, mini clarity moments, aren't you, I guess?
I think more people get it now.
Yeah.
It's not as far-fetched now. If you go on a night out with your friends now and go, I don't drink, no one really fights it anymore. We're kind of like, oh, I get it. He's in good nick. He wants to look after himself. He doesn't drink, fair enough.
Yeah.
You said that 8 years ago. I don't drink. You fucking pussy. Get a fucking drink down. Yeah. What do you mean you don't drink? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You would have been given shit for it.
Yeah. I went through that.
Did you?
I used to be the guy that all my pals were around drinking and that. Don't get me wrong. I'd go out and get absolutely plastered. But I'd do anything in between, you know, like a social drink.
Yeah.
So I didn't like alcohol. I'd be the guy that got a J2O when everyone else. I'd walk over to, you know, a table with J2O and you get pelters from everyone. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't give a shit, man.
I got to a point where I started ordering lime and soda.
Yeah.
I could pull it off as a vodka soda, like a vodka lemonade, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just what I'd order.
Yeah.
But you even felt a bit weird with the bar staff as well. You felt like, because I'm paying 40p for a drink in Wetherspoons rather than £2.50 for a pint, you felt like almost like you didn't deserve to be there because you weren't spending as much as the other people. It's a weird psychological shift.
It is
a mental thing.
Yes.
Like, why are you scrutinised or frowned upon for going, sitting, eating some chicken and rice in Nando's and ordering a water rather than a refillable? Mm. It's not because it's free. It's because that's the healthy choice.
Yeah.
Rather than putting this bloody carbonated fizzy fucking syrup into your system, which is ultimately going to lead to diabetes and kill you, you silly twat. Do you know what I mean? But you're frowned upon for doing it.
Yeah.
It's mental. So I literally had this conversation in Glasgow at the weekend. Mm. We were having that conversation. I was like, two waters, please.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay.
It's like, well, I know your sort.
Yeah. You know, love. Yeah, bonkers.
You, like a lot of us, we've got like extremisms, haven't we? You seem to be quite an extreme dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not a bad thing. But do you believe in balance?
Believe in it, yes. Struggle with it, yes. I think you've got to, and again, this is my personal opinion, I think you've got to find what works for you. Like, do I believe in the collective consciousness and that we're all one person, one entity, one being, and that everybody is ultimately all running the same journey in separate vessels? Yes. But do I also think that those individuals have been programmed differently from birth and now have a certain preconception of how the world works and how you operate in the world? So for me, I can't have one bit of chocolate during the daytime as a part of a balanced diet because I will binge. Once I get that taste of it, I need to be all or nothing with most of the things that I do. Like, and I've just found that that is the way I work best.
Yeah.
Like, would it be nice to have a bit more balance? Yeah, of course it would. I feel like I see some balanced people and I'm like, how are you not pissed off? Do you know what I mean? Like, how are you doing that? I'm pretty good on one foot with an RDL, mate, but like the rest of balance is out of there.
There's a lot of factors in there. There's, you know, childhood influences, your parents, your upbringing, siblings, previous friends, current friends. It's all a collective thing into why we become who we are, isn't it? I think even down to, you know, if we could talk about like childhood abuse and that kind of thing, do you know what I mean? In whatever capacity, it's going to lead to somebody being a certain way, even if they lock that shit up, even if they never knew about it, if they can't remember it, if they're two and they can't remember it, they've still drunk some of that up, haven't they? And then that's going to probably end up in some kind of maladaptive, fucked up way in the life somewhere down the line. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, a bit of a deep on that, but...
No, mate, no, that's where you should go. Let's go deep. Like, I believe that every person needs to go to therapy because some people don't realise they need it till they're in it.
Amen.
Like,
amen.
You're going to the doctors, you get an antidepressants thrown at you, but you're not going to sit and seeing someone on a weekly basis. You're putting a plaster over the wound. You're never actually trying to heal the wound.
Yeah.
Like, I go to therapy... I'm fortunate enough that I've got really good people around me, some who are qualified therapists, so I don't really... And I trust them, and I can talk to them about absolutely everything and anything. And whether you realise it or not, I'm a very open book. Like, I don't keep anything to myself. It's not in my nature. Like yesterday, I was on the phone to my mum having a conversation with her, and I rang my mum. And bearing in mind, we've spoke about me speaking about these things, and she's completely okay with it. because she wants other people to know my story, her story, and what helps us go through what we're going through with the cancer. So yesterday, the life insurance paid out my mum's, well, pretty much confirmed the fact she's dead. Do you know what I mean? They paid the mortgage money. They paid that money out. And my mum's in bed and she can't get out of bed. But it's not because she's hurting or she's, do you know what I mean? She's just been floored by the fact that this money's now landed in the bank. Like, that is literally the confirmation. You know what I mean? They've been worried about this money coming in. Can we get it paid off? Can we get this? Is the life insurance even going to pay out at this rate? All this. And then all of a sudden, that money's sat there. And I'm like... So I'm on the phone to my mum for about 2 hours. And the thing is, we talk about it like it's... Not like it's not real, but me and my mum were very good friends. Do you know what I mean? And when we got off, just as we were getting off the phone, she was like, I was like, right, go back to bed, go and chill out. And she's like, no, I feel better now we've had a chat. I'm getting up. And I was like, right, cool, good. Anyway, I get off the phone... And I'm plodding around the kitchen for about 30, 40 minutes. And then I'm just sending a friend a video on WhatsApp because I do a lot of video messages. I like them. They're more personal. Voice notes and video messages, I'm all for that. I do this video message and I'm just starting to explain what I've just been talking about with my mum. And boom, out of nowhere, mate, I'm just fucking chronically crying for the next hour and a half. I can't switch that off. Years ago, before therapy, before speaking to people, before understanding yourself, what's okay, what's not okay, who you are as a person, that would have been, my God, there's something wrong with me. I need to fix this. I need to speak to everybody about this now to try and... No, you're upset, man. You need to sit in it. Like, sit in it. Stop trying to fight it. Yeah. Fighting it makes it worse. Just sit with it. Allow it. So I did. And I just sat in the house and violently cried for an hour and a half. But that's okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't concern me in the slightest. Like, because after that, I go back to a functional human being. I've completely forgot the topic of conversation, if I'm honest.
Therapy. We're touching on that.
This is therapy.
Yeah, we're touching on that. And, you know, you said you believe that everybody needs therapy at some point in their life, and I'm totally, totally with you on that.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's listening to this right now and that's sort of resonated with them, what would your advice be right now if they're struggling? Who, you know, what avenues would you seek? What would you do in, you know, or what have you done to help your mental health?
Yeah, good question. First and foremost, I would probably say that if you're struggling with something that you can't quite come to terms with, whether it's a new emotion or a reoccurring emotion, I would say make sure you find the right therapist. If you're going to go for therapy, don't go to one therapist and because it didn't work out for you, tar that as therapy, because it's not. You just didn't click, you didn't connect with your therapist. Either that or your therapist was there for the money. Like, which, again, I'm not saying all therapists are, because I know some amazing ones, but I've also been to people where I feel like I'm 40 quid to them. Do you know what I mean?
Sticking boxes.
How do you feel? Fuck off, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not... Let's just sit and have a chat, shall we?
Yeah.
I would say spend some time alone, if that's safe to do so. Obviously, you've got to be a little bit careful because other people's mental health is a lot better or worse than other people's, but spending time in nature, like cold water therapy, 1,000%. I'm not a massive Wim Hof guy. Like, it's not... I think it got too commercialised, in my opinion. But the one thing that resonated me with the whole Wim Hof thing was why he started it. And that was because he was going through a lot of pain because his wife died. Yeah. And he found that when he was in the water and when he was in the ice and when he was in the snow, all he could focus on is his breathing. He couldn't think about the pain.
Yeah,
that's what clicked. Presence. And that's why I've now started doing it with the mum situation. That's what helps me at the minute. It's like, oh shit, okay. All that disappears for 10 minutes. Right, that works. That does work. I don't care about the endorphins after it. Like, look, it's got 1,000 benefits, but for me, it's getting the fuck out of my head for 10 minutes. going for a walk, get a dog. Definitely get a dog. yeah, nice. But yeah, most, I think my, I could talk for hours on it, but I think the most important piece of advice I would give is do not write therapy off because one therapist that you saw didn't work for you. There is somebody out there that will be able to connect with you on whatever level you're on, and not everybody's made for everybody, the same as a relationship. And your relationship with your therapist needs to be treated the exact same way it needs to be a relationship.
Nice.
It's so common though, isn't it? You hear people, therapist's not for me. But like you say, it's probably you just click with the wrong person, that's all it is.
Yeah, completely.
It needs to be normalised.
Yeah.
Therapy needs to be normalised, mate, so...
I think we're getting there.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I think we're definitely getting there.
We recently did a flotation recovery. You know, the flotation tanks.
Where the anti-gravity things.
Yeah, sensory deprivation tanks.
That's the one, yeah. Is it good?
Rough, yeah. I'm not going to be honest. I nearly got out, mate.
Okay.
5 minutes. I started to panic almost. Just the thought, like, it's literally... It's literally you and your mind. That's it.
Can I speak freely on here?
Yeah, of course you can, yeah.
How many mushrooms did you take before it?
None. No, I didn't. I wish I did, to be fair. I'd speak openly about that as well. I didn't. I just wanted to be, you know, level-headed, normal.
Oh, okay.
Normal mentality.
That's interesting.
Going in, just you and your mind. And I started to panic after 5 minutes because we're in there for 60 minutes, mate.
Okay,
you're in there for 60
long,
minutes.
Yeah.
You feel like you've got no body. It's literally you and your thoughts. And that can be a dangerous place.
The only thing that you can hear is your breath.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah, the only thing that you can hear, because your ears are plugged, so that you can only hear your heartbeat and your breath, and that's it, and your breathing. That's like the only thing that you can hear. There's nothing else going on at all. And it is... the most remarkable place to be, honestly.
It's making my eyes water.
Yeah.
Like, I'm quite good at visualising stuff, so when you're saying it, I'm putting myself in the... obviously, nothing will ever do it apart from doing it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I had a lot of mental breakthroughs in there.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You go deep, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Big shout out to Daniel from Recovery Float in Leeds, by the way.
Yeah.
Some place.
Daniel, hook me up, kid.
hook that up.
So, yeah, I highly recommend that one.
Yeah.
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 But after the 5 minutes, I realised, right, we need to start breathing, calm. And then you're in then. But, you know, I can see a lot of people getting out of that tank because being with you and your thoughts can be a tough place for some people.
And... if I can take the conversation there, let's take it there. I feel like that's what a lot of people struggle with the plants, is that first 5-20 minutes where you realise, oh shit, I'm not in control here.
Yes.
And you're trying to grasp all the control and you're holding on to everything in the room trying to get control of it.
Yeah.
Until you just kind of go, oh, fuck it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then once you go, fuck it, you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Liberating.
Even the really dark alleys ain't that dark.
Yeah.
And so when I came out of maths, finished filming for maths, there was a little period of time where I just couldn't get out of bed. A couple of weeks, like, in my head. Do you know what I mean? I say I couldn't get out of bed. When I say I couldn't get out of bed, I started to walk my dogs. But I'd walk my dogs. I wasn't showering for 2 or 3 days. My beard were all over the place. My hair were all over the place. And I just didn't care. I just wanted to stay in bed. And you feel like the outside world's going to hate you. Because a couple of people mentioned something online. Now, I'm also well aware that this is something that's testing me, taking me onto a new strength, and eventually this is just going to be a past thought that I'm never going to think anything of. But I met a girl in my local gym who, like, we just created this. I was doing some hanging leg raises, right? And she was on a mat in front of me, and there was just this super intense eye contact, and she was covered in like frog tattoos and like quite attractive. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, okay,
you're different.
Okay, you're somewhere here. You know what I mean? Like, all right, universe. Do you know what I mean? what was cracking off? And then so there was that, and then a couple of days later, we ended up talking in the gym. Anyway, it turns out that this lady is a Cambo practitioner, and she also does retreats in ayahuasca, and she does retreats, do you know what I mean, in Wachuma. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, ayahuasca, DMT, do you know what I mean? Like, this is all being talked about left, right and centre, all over the place. Like, I want to try this. Like, let's... I feel like this is my time. I feel like this is my calling to go. So I did. And I went to a retreat and I went and did ayahuasca, which I didn't journey with. I did 3 cups, but I was fighting it. Right. Every time she tried to take me on a journey,
yeah.
I was like, fuck off. No, absolutely not. I'll never forget. I've even tattooed it on myself, mate. I've got a little worm tattooed on my leg here. And it's plain and simple. I call it my little DMT worm because I remember lying there. And there's obviously like 6, 7 of us in this room and I'm lying down and I drank my medicine. I've sat there and this music's going off and there's like chanting and all this stuff. You know, all these smells and then this luminous orange worm just went above my head. I was like, "Whoa, fuck it!" And then it went, "Whoa!" And came back down. And then it went, "Whoa!" And I was like, "Nope." I was like, "Fuck you, worm!" And I just fucking bolted upright, and that was it. I'd fought it, and if you fight it, you're not going. Oh. It's very different to DMT. You can go and do ayahuasca like 30 times, mate. You might not journey till the 31st.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And at first, I thought I'd been fucking ripped off here. Do you know what I mean? You've just given me some fucking licorice and told me that.
Yeah.
So it's different for different people.
Right.
The next day I did Huachuma, which is the San Pedro, it's the cactus.
Yeah, yeah.
That was different. That was that changed a lot of things for me. That is like the closest thing I could relate that to is like guilt-free MDMA. Do you know what I mean? It was it was just love. Like everything. You go and lie on the earth and you go and ask the universe and the planet what you want from it before you take the medicine. Mm. And you meditate on it for 10 minutes. Mm. I come back, I drink this cactus juice. And then I start talking about some things that bother me. And I'm not going to go into them, respectfully, but some things that bother me from my childhood. Mm. And I was having this conversation with this woman in a hot tub and she's just finished sailing around the world. Do you know what I mean? There's loads of us there.
Yeah.
And her and her girlfriend had come to the retreat and me and her were having this conversation and she said something and I was like, basically what I'd asked the earth for is to stop taking everything so fucking seriously. Mm. I realised that the older I'm getting, I'm becoming a very serious person. Mm. Everything's like super serious all the time. I've got to be serious about that. And why are you not like that? And why am I not like that? And that needs to be at 5:30 a.m. And if it's not, then you're not a good person.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, bore off.
Yeah.
I just need to chill out a bit. So weirdly enough, she says something, and again, don't want to go into it, but she said a very specific comment, which just, you couldn't write, you could not write. And then I responded to that with like, that's a lot to do with what bothers me from when I was younger. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I couldn't stop laughing. I just couldn't. I was trying to be upset about stuff. I was trying to be angry about stuff. And I was just in this fucking hot tub, mate. And I was in hysterics. And she was taking the piss out of it. And it was okay. Do you know what I mean? It was like, she was mocking everything I was saying. But like, we were both just sat there with a fucking roll up, laughing our heads off in this hot tub. And I kept getting out, getting in a cold shower. Yeah. Next thing you know, mate, we've got the bloody djembe. We've got the dabukas. We've got the bloody, boy, you're the word. Do you know what I mean? Didgeridoos going off, drums, mate, fucking hand pans. And it was just sick. It was just fucking amazing.
Wow.
It was a feeling like no other.
And you cut a lot of shackles.
Yeah, mate.
In that moment.
Yeah.
Because you could just laugh at yourself.
I feel like it's work that needs continuously doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I do feel like it's work that needs continuously
doing. For yourself or for anyone?
For myself. I can't speak for everyone. I'm not educated enough to speak on that matter for everyone. Because I do find, and again, this is my opinion, but I do find a lot of people who take to plant medicine used to have a problem with maybe more serious drugs.
Mm.
And it's almost like they found a way to do it with plants.
Get that high. Sort
get that.
Of,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's
escapism.
Escapism. It's like it's like replacing a fag with a vape.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you feel better for doing it because it's not as dirty and it doesn't smell like fags, but essentially it's still doing the same thing. Yeah. If you abuse it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? There's use and abuse of everything in life, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I think the conversation that we had last week was basically to have clear intentions as to why do you want to do this? You know, what do you want to get out of it and where do you want to go with it? You know, so it's just asking yourself the questions first, isn't it, before you embark on that. Because it could get a bit ugly as well. I mean, I don't know that. I've not tried it. I don't know, but I'm very intrigued now about it all.
Well, it's an internal therapist, isn't it? It can be for a lot of people. It brings up past trauma and for you to deal with. That's what a lot of it's designed to do, really, isn't it?
It's powerful.
Powerful.
Very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And that also depends on you as well.
Yeah.
Like, that depends on you.
If you allow it in.
Like mushrooms, for example. Mm. you don't have a fucking choice. you go 4 grams deep in some golden teachers, mate, and they're going to goldenly teach you a lesson. It could be the best or worst lesson you're ever going to have, but...
Have you gone to them type of doses with the mushrooms?
Twice with
the heroic dose. That's what.
Not heroic.
That's
no.
5 grams.
That's 5 grams. Yeah. Don't feel like I need that.
You're meeting
mate.
God at that point.
Yeah, you? I don't. Yeah. Well, I believe in Alan Watts's theory that you are God.
Yeah.
We are God.
Yeah.
Do you know
everyone
what I mean?
Is
like
everyone
a Buddhism.
Is. Yeah, mate. Like a Taoism kind of thing. Yeah, we are quite. You are. You are the universe. Do you know what I mean? You are part of it. We're all interconnected, mate. We all come from fungi. We all, do you know what I mean? I'm a stoned ape theory guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It just makes the most sense.
Terence McKenna.
Yeah, mate. If you sit and look at all the collective information that we have available to us now, there's no longer one book, two book, or three book which tells us how we should live our lives. Mm. We have Google. Do you know what I mean? We have if you wanted to be a neurobiologist, you could get that from your phone. But we don't. We double tap on cat pictures. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
you've got access to the most incredible information in the world, but we don't use it.
Yeah.
But if you do your own research into stuff and you actually start to look at it and just stop taking everything at first glance, it's like, oh, shit. Okay, that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
We didn't have consciousness. The Neanderthals, the Homo sapiens, they decided... that they were foraging on plants. Why did they start foraging on mushrooms? Because what does it do? In small doses, it will heighten your senses. It will give you clearer vision. It will make you zone in and focus on something like hypersensitively. And
grows the neurons in your brain.
Yeah. So not only is it great for hunting, which is why we outlived the other sapiens, like... Get that book if you haven't read it, by the way.
Homo sapiens.
Just sapiens.
Oh, sapiens, yeah.
The brief
history
of mankind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a fucking difficult read. It's long. It's different. It's one of them where you read the same chapter 15 times, get pissed off, put it down for a month. But then the audio book don't make much sense either. Do you know? But if you can get through it, it's a really good book. But yeah, that makes the most sense to me.
The stoned ape theory.
Yeah.
Quickly round it up for people that don't know what that is.
The stoned ape theory is based upon the fact that when we were primates, if you will, and in our first human form, mushrooms allow you to access more consciousness than what you can currently... Well, psilocybin, the active compound of the magic mushroom, allows you to access more consciousness than what you can currently access with just your brain alone. Therefore... Once that's been ignited and it's given you more consciousness, that's how we developed consciousness and we outlived the other. Do you know what I mean? We're the only things with consciousness, aren't we? Is it just us? Is it just humans? Obviously, I think there's you can't really ask.
There's like some evidence. there's like evidence that like insects might have consciousness and stuff like that, but I don't know how true that is.
It's like a dog doesn't know it's alive.
Right.
How weird is that? Like most animals don't really know they're alive, as in they don't know... that they're going to die one day.
Right.
They know to avoid danger and they know to avoid death, but they don't know that, oh, I've got, right, how old am I? 7. Right, I've potentially got 5 years left. Right, let's make the most of it.
Yeah.
They don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
And it's us that do, and that's why we're so anxious all the time, because we're looking at this thing all the time, looking at the watch, constantly like, oh, I'm not at a certain point, and I'm like, man, I'd love to be a dog. Do you know what I mean?
I learned a lot from my dog when I was going through an hard time.
Yeah. Do you know what? Can you tell me about that? Because I was thinking about this morning.
I just looked at how carefree he was, and I looked at how he needed to connect with nature, and he just loved and wanted hugs and wanted to get outside and play and then chill. And he didn't give a shit. It didn't seem apparent to me that he was giving a shit.
Yeah. Super simple.
And I was just like, we just need to just bring it right back.
Yeah, mate.
We just need to bring it right back.
It's only us pigeons and seagulls, isn't it?
Yeah.
That like this concrete. Isn't it? And pigeons and seagulls have only evolved to do it because of us leaving food about.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, well, they figured out a better way to get food rather than going hunting for it.
Yeah.
Wait for that knobhead to drop his Mackies. And if he don't fucking drop it, I'm taking it. Roger, get on that fourth window, we've seen him.
that actually inspired me to start podcasting, because I felt like I had a bit more of a voice to share with people, and I had a different viewpoint on life, and yeah. I had a more empathic view. And then a few years later, I've aligned with a therapist who's now my partner.
Right.
So it's just kind of that journey that I went on just to strip everything. But I've completely changed as a person.
Right.
Completely changed.
Do you feel vulnerable?
No.
Did you, in the initial stages of you changing as a person?
I shedded some layers, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of crying.
Yeah,
lot of crying. Lost my mum as well, so I feel for your position right
Sorry
now
to
as well.
That, mate.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. And there were a bit of that wrapped up in there too. I didn't let enough out.
Yeah.
You know, try to just get on with it, man up, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
All that, yeah. And I shed a lot of layers, changed a lot, and I stripped right back, and I just brought it back down to basics, which I learned through my dog. My dog taught me that I was just looking at him and thinking, you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
None of this stuff.
Yeah.
That we're all worried about and concerned about, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think everyone can learn from dogs in that sense.
I was literally thinking about this morning, which is why I asked if you mind sharing it with me with the dog thing, because it wasn't the same as that. It was more to do with the fact that if I throw a ball for my collie, mate, don't matter how big that wall is, don't matter what's in the way, don't matter, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that hyper focus, that drive to get that fucking ball. Mate, if I could throw it at a brick wall and she will run into that brick wall 50 times because all she's focused on is getting that ball. And it's like another thing you can learn, like staying focused on the target.
On the goal.
Whatever your goal is, do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if she has to go through freezing cold water, jump over rocks, tread on glass, tread on whatever's in front of her, mate. She's not looking at that. She's looking at the goal. Mm. She's just using the earth as a journey to the goal. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I was watching it, and this is literally this morning when I was in the water. I went for a dip in the reservoir this morning, and I've come out of the water and I'm watching her with the ball, and I'm like, because I try and drip dry now as well.
Yeah,
I try not to get straight in the towel.
Yeah,
I'm like, just give it a minute, let the wind hit you for a minute.
Yeah.
Give me the fucking towel. Yeah, literally, give me the fucking towel. She's run off with it. Yeah, and that's something that I thought about it years ago, and it just came back now because my first dog, Arlo, who's I've still got, and I was thinking, like, when I throw that frisbee, fucking hell, you don't half go for that frisbee. Mm. You don't care about anything else but that frisbee. Mm. Me and that frisbee. How simple is that?
Yeah.
How easy of a life is that?
Interesting concept.
I love that fucking human, and I love that fucking frisbee. And I want some food. I want to walk. And I want to sleep. I don't think life could ever be that easy for us, though, because there's too many expectations on us. Mm. And it's all well and good saying that, and that's the way that we should be. I agree completely. But you still got to pay your bills. You still got to pay your rent. You still got to pay your mortgage. You still got to pay whatever it is that you got to pay to live the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
Because if we all fucked it off now and went and lived in the bloody woods, like...
Some people are doing that.
Yeah, we'd struggle. we would struggle with that.
Serious question, though. How long do you reckon it'd take for the government, the military? Let's say, for example, 50% of the population went, do you know what, fuck this. And they just went, bam, pitched some tents in the woods somewhere, started growing their own crops. How long do you reckon it'd be before? No, actually, we own that land. Can you move on, please? Oh, no, we own that land. Can you move on? You can't grow that there. You can't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You need closer to 100% of people to do that, but that's just never going to happen, is it?
I mean, even then, I think, like, other countries' militaries would get involved and you'd just be... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It only works because there's control.
Yeah. That's it, man.
That's the world.
See how quick I get shadow banned when this gets posted.
I'll tell you what, this has been some chat. This
is fucking hell. Yeah. This is all the stuff, right, that I really want to say and I never do. But
good.
I thought today,
nice one.
Fuck
good,
it.
Man. This is what it's all about.
No, because it's difficult, mate. Especially when you've been on TV, mate. I say one fucking word and the Daily Mail goes, he's a prick. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, bore off, will you? Yeah, I even said that to an editor, mate, who messaged me. And
it's
I was just like,
real,
do you enjoy your job? Like, seriously, look at what you've just messaged me. Do you enjoy your job? Like, are you just trying to fuck with... Just leave me alone. Literally, just leave me alone. You don't write any good articles that's like, oh, look at the lives he's trying to change. Look what he's trying to do with his social media now. Yeah. What are you trying to do with your social media? I'm trying to fucking help people. I'm trying to talk about my experiences indirectly and speak about stuff that I only have experience with so that I can help other people.
Yeah.
And, mate, the hundreds of messages that I get on a weekly basis, I said this on my story last week, I screenshot every single one. I was reading one in the car just before I came up from the bottom end.
Yeah.
Bloody paragraph, mate, of a woman telling me how much she has changed through watching my videos and how much her perspective on life is. Mate, that's awesome. Give a fuck what the rest of you think. Yeah. That woman's life has directly changed as a source of my conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nice. That's not an ego thing. That's like, fucking yes. Like, you've woken up a little bit and you're feeling better because of some of the stuff that I've experienced and I've been able to put forward to you in a way which you've understood and you can now use that in your life.
There's no better feeling.
No, mate, there's not.
Purpose.
There's not.
And that's the purpose, isn't it?
It's like the depression thing, weren't it? Like when they studied depression and they studied it in other countries, the UK and America, and keep it as quick as I possibly can. In the UK and America, the people where the study was done, where they took all responsibilities off them for a period of 30 days, when they came back, they were still depressed. Every other country seemed to have it nailed. They were like, all right. And it's because the people in the UK and the America went and worked on themselves. They tried doing loads of stuff for themselves to make themselves happy. Like, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this. Most of the other countries, mate, their philosophies all evolve around community, and they went and did stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what made them feel better. Mm.
There we go.
Bonkers.
There we go, man.
We need a bit of that too.
Yeah. This is what this podcast's all about, man.
What is your next frisbee? If you know frisbee. What I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Nice, well put. Should we say that again so we don't have to, do you know what I mean? Let it go smooth, because I knew where you were going. Do you know what I mean? My next frisbee is... So, in all honesty, the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've been in a bit of a... Not a hole, but I've been in a bit of a redirection. I know what it is that I want to do, but sometimes you can't quite see the road until the road is like a bit more open. So I want to go into public speaking.
Yeah.
I want to go into businesses. I want to go into communities. I want to go into all areas of life where I can try and change people's perspective on their lives, if you will, to help them better deal with situations that they're going through, and maybe try and just wake people up a little bit. And I don't mean in this woke sense. No. I mean to the possibility that there is a different way of looking at things. In short, my frisbee right now is doing everything possible I can to help other people while still maintaining earning a living.
Nice.
Combining the two.
Yeah,
because I do think that's the ultimate source of happiness. I do.
I agree with that.
And plus, you don't really see that coming from the 16 stone, 6 foot, heavily facial tattooed guy, do you? You don't go, what? You do therapy? Yeah, but you should try it. Yeah. Tell me how you feel.
And you've got a vulnerable side.
Yeah, great. Yeah, literally, mate. Yeah, literally.
Public speaking, mate. That's a good one.
That's it.
No, that's...
Public speaking. I don't like the word life coach anymore, mate. I think it's been so... When I was 21 years old, I did a course in life coaching through an online university thing. But at 21, I was too young to coach.
You to live a bit, don't you?
Hey, if anyone turned around... I mean, I felt like I had. I'd already lived in 21, five different houses, two with ex-girlfriends. I'd already had two dogs. Do you know what I mean? I went in the army at 15. Like... Joined up at 15, entered at 16, and then, so my life experience by 21 already felt quite vast, and I already knew I was different in the sense that I don't see the world the way that other people do. And there was a video that I put on not long ago, and this guy says, the thing is, if the universe picks you, there's two rules. Once you've got the glasses on, you can never take them off, and only you will be able to see it. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, fucking hell.
Ooh, yeah.
And you'll never be able to show other people. Some people will never be able to see it. And I'm like, fucking, that was a bit deep. I was like, I get you.
Yeah,
I
get you. Deep, that, innit?
Soul got stabbed.
Legit did, mate. Yeah. Indirectly. Yeah. It's like the dog video that makes me cry at 7 a.m. And I'm like, you fucking prick. Look how he rescued her and turned her around, and now she loves him. Can I meet her and stroke her, please?
Mate, wow. It's been awesome, this, like...
I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Bloody sweating.
Intense.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
For the listeners, where can we find you if they're interested in what your next frisbee is, i.e. goal, you know? what's the next platform that we can find you on, or
everything that I do will all be on my Instagram. I don't use Twitter. I never will. It's just too much of a minefield for me.
Yeah.
Twitter. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. It's all Matt B. Murray. Literally, Matt_B_Murray. It's the same on all platforms. Like I say, this year, it's not even a hopefully. It's coming. I feel it. I know what's happening.
That's right.
It's just getting these doors open now.
Process.
And thank you guys as well, number one, for having me on, and number two, because obviously as a person coming in, I've never met either of you two before, and you don't know how comfortable you're going to feel in a room, how welcoming it's going to be, and also, I fucking hate fake people.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes you turn up to some places and they go, "Hi, mate.
Well, would you like this?
And you're like, "Oh, fucking hell, mate." Do you know what I mean? I know you ain't like this with your missus at home. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's just annoying. Like, so thank you for your hospitality in the sense of like just being real people, mate. Like, genuinely, I mean that.
Appreciate that, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It takes you to be vulnerable for me to feel comfortable being vulnerable.
Yeah, it's reciprocal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you feel that energy, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do, man.
Yeah.
No, nice one. I love this chat.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming and speaking to us and taking the time out.
Very welcome, guys, honestly.
This is the real Matt Murray, not the fucking tabloids and all that stuff. This is the real man here. Thank you, mate.
Honestly, God.
It's been a pleasure, man.
You've been listening to the Immerse podcast with Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. If you're enjoying these conversations, you can follow us on all major streaming platforms and get ready to immerse yourself into the upcoming and exciting conversations that we have in store for you. In addition to this, if you're looking to enhance your performance and overall well-being, you can follow our recovery brand at Immerse Recovery on all social media platforms. Alternatively, you can visit www.immerserecovery.co.uk.